The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. This week, once again, is no exception. We've got a return guest and one of our most popular guests ever on Guys Guys Radio. His name is Christian Sundberg, and we're going to talk about existing before the human experience. He's got a great book. It's called A Walk in the Physical, Understanding the Human Experience Within the Larger Spiritual Context. Christian claims that he can recall being approached by a light entity or light being prior to his incarnation as a human being on Earth and be able to look back and review some of his past lives, and he's going to share with us what the process is when you're in a position between lives, if you will, and you get a kind of a review, and you also get to determine what you want to work on in your next incarnation. Okay, you've got to take a leap with all of this. You might just believe that we're here, and then you die, and that's the end of it. That's up to you. But what we do here on Guys Guys Radio, we bring you a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different information. I qualify all the guests ahead of time to make sure that we have real, deep, provocative, intrusive, and really educational stories to get us to think and really consider what if, what else is out there besides the fact that you have to pick up your dry cleaning and pay your taxes and do all the other stuff that you have to do at your job. There's a lot more to it, folks, a lot more. And what we do here on Guys Guys Radio, we bring you a lot of different information from a lot of different thought leaders and guests. Over the years, we've spoken to over 700 people I've interviewed, and this is, I think, our 548th show, I believe. And we're now on UK Health Radio. So I think for our new listeners there, UK Health Radio, one thing you might have noticed is that we do a lot of different guests. It's not just guys stuff. It's about how to be the best person you can be and how to get the most information. So our first show on UK Health Radio was with a kind of a Irish mystic. Her name was Laura Byrne, and we talk about angels, and she sees physical angels and deals with them on a daily basis. And then we had Samuel Chong, who talked about the Theoban Prophecy, a book about a ninth dimensional planet and what these extraterrestrials think of people on Earth and the Earth experience. And then we had a dating expert, Sandy Weiner. And now today we've got Christian Sundberg, who's going to talk to us about life before life, if you will. So we do a lot of different stuff here on Guys Guys Radio. And if you stick with us, I think you'll find that we're going to cover so many different topics, and they're all very interesting, and you'll get a kind of a free education on a lot of different modalities, a lot of different ways of thinking, and things to consider to help you have and live your best life. So that's what we do here on Guys Guys Radio. So how's everybody doing out there? We're into January now, kind of that part of the winter where it can be, you know, cold and wet and snow. But here in the USA and here in Southern California, it's usually the sunshiniest place around, but we've had about a month of rain here on and off, and it's kind of odd because I've been here, I'm going on my fourth year, and I haven't experienced this as such. Yet the folks I talk to who have been here for like a decade or so, or even the local folks who grew up here, they say, oh no, about every 5 years or so, you get about 2 months straight of rain, and it helps kind of balance out the drought conditions that are so prevalent here in Southern California. And I know back east, the weather hasn't been, you know, they haven't had the big snowfalls yet or anything. So it's interesting. It seems like to me that every winter gets more warmer and wetter. And I don't know what it's like for you in your part of the world, whether you're listening in the UK or wherever. But here we notice that the temperatures seem to be slowly rising. And I think the temperature of the planet and the recorded temperatures have gone up just a tick like every year. So be mindful of that in terms of your living choices and stuff, because we've got to take care of this planet, Gaia. We've got one planet, and it's up to us to really make our best effort to take care of it. So Guys Guys Radio, we're going to get into our interview portion of the show. My special guest, return guest to Guys Guys Radio, you're really going to enjoy him. His name is Christian Sundberg. So let's get to it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it's our interview portion of the show. We've got a very special return guest. He's a real guys guy, and he's here to help the world, believe it or not, and he's doing a great job of it. I got to tell you, I really enjoy talking to him. I love his work. His name is Christian Sundberg. Let me tell you a little bit about him. When he was a young boy, he remembered his existence before coming to Earth. That's right. Before he was born, he remembers his existence in pretty good detail. While that memory left him completely until his early adult life, it spontaneously returned about a dozen or so years ago, when he started meditating and went through a personal awakening journey. He also began to have out-of-body experiences, and now he often speaks publicly as he seeks to remind everybody, or at least in a small part, about who we are beneath the human play that we are involved in each and every day. Professionally, Christian has worked for 16 years plus as a project manager for a complex nuclear pump and valve manufacturing project. So he's just another guy's guy. He's out there. He's doing the work, and he's got a message that's coming through him. And I'm so glad to be sharing that again. The name of his book is called A Walk in the Physical, which succinctly describes the larger spiritual context in which we exist and importance of love in our human journey. So welcome back to Guys Guys Radio, Christian Sundberg. Good to see you.
And good to see you too, sir. Thank you so much.
Well, we're going to plan to have like an organic discussion today based on our collective experience here on Earth. I think it would be helpful, though, to begin by providing some context for your story. At the beginning of your book, A Walk in the Physical, you describe being inspired by a great being of light who had experienced human incarnation. This being also had some information about the benefits of experiencing painful experiences in this and many lifetimes as part of our spiritual growth. You expressed interest in this journey that you're on right now and recalled one painful death and other lifetimes leading to your current incarnation. So writing this book to help people expand their consciousness kind of the bigger picture seems to be your journey. Tell us about what I just mentioned in terms of how this all began, because where were you when this light being came to you? And tell us about that transition and the journey between that coming to Earth, having a kind of aborted, quote-unquote, incarnation, and then coming back again, choosing your parents, doing a life plan, and all of that stuff.
Thank you, Robert. Yeah, that's a very large question. First, let me just disclaim that, okay, so we're going to use words because that's what we have on Earth. But our higher nature, our true nature, fully transcends the context of Earth and all the forms and symbols that we have to use here. You know, our language is based on the limitations of Earth, like linear time and discrete location, you know, these things that we take for granted. Our true nature transcends that entirely. So it's very difficult to speak to any of this successfully. And I feel like as soon as we open our mouths and use language, we're just wrong. You know, like we're just immediately inaccurate. So I just have to disclaim that first. Okay, so your question was, where was I? That was your initial question when I met this, this being of light. So, all right. So first of all, you know, as humans, we tend to think that reality is primarily comprised of places, you know, because that's how we experience Earth. We see an exterior world. It's got places in it. We go experience those places, interact with them, and then we share them with each other. And so we think that that's the primary thing. There are places in higher reality systems for sure. But the form of the context of Earth is not first. It's second to our spirit itself, our consciousness itself, which can know Earth or engage many other types of reality systems. And those reality systems can be very different. So in the experience where I engaged this being, I was traveling with a group of probably hundreds of other beings across what I would describe as a landscape of light. And I don't exactly remember what we were going to do. We had some shared activity, but when I came across this being, I felt from him the quality of his nature, his essence, because in that reality system, okay, in most other reality systems, our connectedness is felt and known. And so typically when we communicate with each other in those systems, it's not done with words like we do here on Earth. You know, we don't have to throw symbols at each other. Very crude way of communicating. There, it's all telepathic, and you can feel of the other person. It's very hard to explain or describe, but you can feel their nature, and you can share information like instantaneously. So I had felt from him this incredible power and freedom and joy, and I was just in awe. And so that was what sent me down this whole path, is that I asked him, how did you become this? Like, what could you possibly have done to become this, to reach this state? You know, and he shared with me that he had lived a physical life. He shared with me many things, but the chief among them was that he had lived a physical life where he had suffered a physical health condition, a pain that lasted with him for years. And it's not, in your question, you asked about the benefit of pain. It's not that pain is beneficial specifically. It's that the way that this being chose to relate to the experience and use the experience, and how he chose to, what state of being he chose, you could almost say, shined through this experience and allowed a refinement of who he really is that lasted past the end of that limitation. And that was very inspiring to me.
So you were in between incarnations, I'm assuming.
I had never been physical yet at this.
Okay. This is before
sequences. Yeah. Sequence is very difficult to speak to because on Earth, we like clean linear time. Mm-hmm. This is all happening within the one now. So even though this memory feels ridiculously ancient, like millions of years ago, it's also alive right now. I don't know how to describe that, but it's before any physical incarnation.
Okay. So, and concurrently to that, agreeing that everything's happening at the same time, if you will, that time is not a straight line continuum. Do you recall other incarnations? If so, kind of how many before where we are right now? Just putting a pin on the map, because we hear you and I are talking right now, even though the whole world, the whole universe has occurred right now also. But let's talk about that separately and us being here right now. So in that context of kind of a continuum, if you will, how many incarnations have you had, Christian?
Yeah, so
that you're aware of?
So I'm still very much veiled. So I only have limited visibility to it, but I had an experience where I became aware of hundreds of other lives that I'd lived. So I know that I've lived at least hundreds. I have specific memory from a handful of them. I remember being a woman in one life, as an example. And, you know, at times I've been curious about that. But, you know, when I go and reach for that, I get this gentle, like, no, you don't need to know that now. And I respect that, you know, I respect that I'm still veiled. So I only have limited sight to my previous physical experiences.
Now, in your decision to be incarnated in this particular incarnation, you asked for the ability to have a little bit of a peek beyond the veil, if you will. Yes.
Yeah, I asked to have a small amount of memory this time. I said I didn't want to forget all the way. I just wanted a small amount of memory. And they said that I could do that, but that it would make this journey more difficult because the contrast between there and here is very stark. It's very extreme. And so there is a painful homesickness that can accompany having some of that awareness. So I'm very thankful that I only have that tiny glimmer because it's not easy.
The process of incarnating into a 3D body, mm-hmm. Coming from a very high vibration, is there a discomfort to doing that? And if so, what is that like?
Yeah, discomfort's not a terrible word, I guess. The nature of spirit itself is extremely connected, powerful, full of love and joy and freedom. That is our true nature. And so vibrationally, the way that is experienced is being a very, very, very high vibration. Our native state is connected to all things and each other. And it's just an endless, I don't know what words to use, but an endless amount of joy and love. And so, okay. And knowing it's an all knowing. So imagine going from that place down vibrationally all the way down into the human experience. This is an extremely, extremely limited experience by contrast, just incredibly limited. It felt like an incredible plunge in vibration to go from that height all the way down into the human experience. And the human experience felt like kind of like arriving to the vacuum of space, like coming to a place where there was just no heat, no air, mm-hmm. but also extremely dense, like being shoved inside of a tuna can, you know, mm-hmm. something like that by comparison. So is that uncomfortable? Oh, yes, it's very shocking. Birth is the more difficult direction, not death. Death is a release back up and out and a return to the native freedom. It's a wonderful release. The process of incarnating, however, is much more abrupt, and that's the more difficult direction you could say to travel.
So for all of us then, you were acutely aware of a lot of this, and most other people aren't as aware as to how this process worked. Does everybody go through a similar process as you went through, Christian, without the awareness per se that you have now of it, of the remembering, if you will, of being kind of squashed into a human body? And is it by choice? And does everybody line up and go through a checklist in terms of here's what I want to learn in this lifetime, and here's some of the possibilities for me, even though there's going to be, you know, an infinite number of possibilities because of free will when we get to Earth. Tell us about kind of the setup and launching into the human body for all of us that are listening.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, just a quick comment on your use of the words into a human body. It feels like we're in a human body, but actually it's more accurate to say that the human body is occurring within your consciousness, your spirit already. That's an important distinction because we get very convinced in the context, but the body is just it's sensations and thoughts, it's feelings occurring within the body of your awareness. And that body of awareness is the same body of awareness that you were before the physical and that you will be after. So that's just a subtle comment, but I think it's worth mm-hmm. mentioning. So I can't speak for what anybody else has experienced, you know, in their incarnative process. I don't know for anybody else, but I do feel that it is, you know, something that we all experience, that we all choose to come. The spirit itself is sovereign, you could say. There is no greater authority. It's a drop in the ocean, the ocean of all that is, the ocean of source. So there is no greater authority than it. So the only way that we can be apparently bound, we're not actually bound, but apparently bound into the physical experience is to surrender ourselves into it, to let a veil, to really, you know, surrender ourselves to a veiling process. You know, and we do that for the purposes that the physical experience offers, which can be unique for each person. Each individual's choice may be unique. So I can't speak to anybody else, but I do feel strongly that we do all choose, at least at the deepest level, we all choose. And we do see the value of it, even though there is extreme limitation involved. with accepting the human experience. It's a no joke. It's like extreme sports or something. You know, not everybody's going to sign up for extreme sports, but anyone who's listening today in the physical has signed up for extreme sports.
Okay. My special guest on Guys Radio, the author of A Walk in the Physical, Understanding the Human Experience Within the Larger Spiritual Context, Christian Sundberg. So glad you're here, Christian. So for the benefit of our listeners and for myself, because I'm learning as we go also, you were given some choices. I mentioned pain earlier, and I said there was a benefit, and I probably misspoke there, but it seems like we have to overcome or work through pain and also work through fear when we get to this side as part of our ascension process. Please help me articulate that better.
Yeah, sure. So fear is the key thing to focus on. Pain is just a result. Pain is one of the many. So, you know, we suffer because of the meaning we apply to our lives because of fear. Fear is the root issue, but it's not a fundamental substance or something. And I'm not just talking about the emotion of being afraid. I'm talking about our root tendency to reject reality and to try to protect ourselves at the expense of others. And I mean, we all know the feeling of fear and all the things that fear can mean. And it's, you know, I'm speaking of all of that when I mentioned fear. But fear is just another word for yet unevolvedness. It just means we've engaged a context that we have not yet fully integrated. So I'll give a very simple example that I mentioned in the book, because I know this sounds like perhaps overly simple, but I do think it's a great metaphor. When my father in this life was a little boy, he was afraid of closets. At night, he would lay in his bed and he would look at his closet and he would imagine all the monsters in the closet. And it bothered him every night for weeks on end. And eventually he was so sick of being afraid, he got up out of his bed and charged over to the closet, pushed his way through the clothes to the back of the wall and sat down in the closet floor. And he waited for the monsters to eat him. And then no monsters ate him. So today, my father is no longer afraid of closets. Now, I use that as a simple metaphor because the thing is, there was nothing to be afraid of. There were no monsters. And similarly, in our lives, I know there's a difference in scope. There's so much rigor available in the human experience. But when we push our way through the closet and actually go face our actual experience, our fear, when we actually feel what we feel, and engage our reality fully and with openness and without rejection, but with full feeling, full presence. It may feel at the moment like the monsters in the closet are going to devour us, but eventually that fear, it vanishes because there was nothing ultimately to be afraid of. So while we come into the physical to face fear, it's not that there's just this thing called fear that we have to overcome. It's that we have to yet to integrate a certain level of contrast, a certain level of context. And the human experience just is an opportunity for a very rigorous and potentially challenging level of context and contrast. That's the primary thing. And it's kind of like if you, like maybe another metaphor is if you lay down on a weight bench, you know, and you begin to lift weight, why would you ever lay down on a weight bench and push 50 pounds over you? Like, why would you do that? Why would you put yourself under that stress? Well, it allows you to become stronger. You're using the counter pressure of the weights so that you can grow in a way. The physical is a lot like that. We're using the counter pressure of circumstance, the counter pressure of context and contrast, and the ability to assign our own meaning onto the context and then work with it and make choices. It's all about choice making. That is, you know, that is the great value of the physical, is that we have that context to work with and to grow through.
So when you come in, you're developing a contract, contracts with your team before you come over to this side. What is the elasticity in that? Let me try to go a little further with that. You have certain things that you want to accomplish. You have certain things that could happen. And then there's an infinite amount of possibilities along the way. How much of that your free will determines that once you're incarnated? And can you change your kind of trajectory or your timeline along the way? Let's say you've contracted to X amount of experiences in life, and you go off and you actually start living a different life. And You pass your expiration date and keep going, and it becomes a different experience. Talk to us about how that works, Christian.
Yeah, so that's an important element of the physical, actually, is that free will can enable novel outcome. So when we evaluate the life beforehand, what we're signing up for is a context. In my case, I had a specific intention in mind. I wanted to meet and integrate a very low vibration fear that had been very difficult for me in a past experience. And so they brought me a life that was appropriate for that primary intention. And then I reviewed that life in great detail and asked for tweaks to the context. And I could see from that side, I reviewed millions and millions of possibilities of how the life might unfold. And the variable is free will, was free will, my choice making and the choice making of all the other players in the game. But it could still be seen, you could call it a probability tree, maybe. Right? It was a probabilistic review. It was like very likely that certain paths would occur, and then less likely that other paths would occur. And it became more difficult to predict the further out it went, something like that. I don't want to use the word difficult. There were more branches on the tree the further out that it went.
Oh.
And for example, I knew that it was likely in my early 20s that I would be crushed by a trauma. Mm-hmm. And I was very excited at that opportunity. And I knew that, especially starting that moment onward, I would be engaging a vibrational distance in a certain way that I had never engaged before, that I would be going further out in the wilderness than I had ever gone. So your question was about elasticity of that. Once we're here, I mean, we always have free will. You know, we come here, we signed up for the context. I'm going to have this body until this body passes. You know, like I can't, that's part of the context. And there are other parts of the context. There's all the rules of Earth, the rules of physics, linear time, discrete location, all those good things. But within that context, there is actually a lot more flexibility than it may appear on the surface, because the physical is actually actualizing to us also in a way that is probability based. It's not an objective, truly objective place like it appears. It's more like a probabilistic simulation that's just very dense. And so once we're here, we do get to choose whatever we wish. We have free will. And if we end up choosing something different and going down a different path, okay, so be it. You know, that is part of the game. But if we sign up for one specific, you know, outcome or one specific experience, it's just very likely that that experience will transpire, not only because the context supports it, but because there tend to be nudges throughout our lives, perhaps from the non-physical or from our own higher self, you know, that kind of keep us on that path to the thing that we signed up to experience.
I think it's a critical point, because in one sense, people could look at I'm an actor in a play and it's already been set. You know, the lines have been written. I just have to act it out, versus God is experiencing itself through us. And our lives are creation. We are artists creating, and the creation we make is our lives. And I think it's a very important distinction.
Yes.
And I think it's more of the latter than the former.
Definitely the latter and not the former. Our lives are not pre-written. It's just that the system is very, very good at predicting outcome. Because it knows us really well. It knows you really well. It knows me really well. It knows all the rules. It knows, you know what I mean? The server has all the data. So it can predict the outcome, but it's still, that's why it's probabilistic, because you may make a choice that what is unanticipated, and that might affect someone else, and that might affect someone else, you know, and that can have quite a, you know, an effect in the physical. So we do always have free will, and it is a creative process, very much indeed.
So therefore, we can skip over potential exit points, if you will. Let's say you got sick and you got cancer, and then you changed your habits and you changed your diet and you changed your lifestyle, and you got better and you kept going instead of getting worse and passing. So we
absolutely
have the free will to be able to impact that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Free will does impact the outcome, absolutely.
Okay. Now, today's kids, so a lot of people say there's indigo children and all of that. Why, is there anything special about the children that are coming into Earth today?
Yeah, so I'm aware of the idea of indigo children and the waves of volunteers. And while I don't have specific memory of that, I do remember in my experience knowing that Earth was going through an awakening process, especially beginning, you know, around my early lifetime, And that awakening process was just seen. It was like, it's just like the act of the play, you know, like that's the act that the play is in the act where we're going to awaken now. We're going to try to do this. And because Earth is such a dense, low vibration place, and because there's so much fear in the collective consciousness, that act of awakening and processing that much fear is quite a substantial act. It's not simple. You know, it's a major undertaking. And Earth was seen as like the place to be. Earth is like very exciting, very unique. Wow, you know, Earth during the awakening, that is exciting. But I can't speak to any kind of, you know, specifically about the children. I do feel that the children, I mean, intuitively, I feel the children that are coming in are, at least a good portion of them are higher vibration and have that awareness. You know, sometimes like I was in Walmart the other day, sometimes I feel energies from people and there's this baby in this cart. I don't know whose baby this was, but I passed and I felt the energy of this being for a moment. And it was just a baby. And I was like, oh my gosh, that mom has no idea the powerful being that's sitting in her cart right now.
Well, that's an important point also, because I think that we've been kind of trained to not appreciate that the powers that we have as people. What do you see, yes, Christian, as part of that happening on Earth? What's going on Earth now? Are we in a period of ascension? Is the ascension being pushed down by certain forces? Are we going from 3D to 5D? Is there a lot of battles going on behind the scenes in terms of what's going to happen with our planet, with humanity, et cetera, disclosure, all kinds of other stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. So I do know that the human race is going through an awakening, and that is a part of the, what we call the ascension process. It just means that we as individuals and as a collective and as a planet are evolving. And we are attempting an evolutionary process in a relatively short amount of time. I mean, like one human lifetime is a very short amount of time. So, you know, even if it's a few hundred years or something, that's a very short amount of time to try to process the breadth of vibrational content that we're talking about here. You know, are there dark forces trying to keep it down? I don't know of that. I generally am pretty sensitive to duality sounding stories, you know, because as humans, we see a world of conflict and we see a world of enemies. And so we're very quick to take conflict and enemies and then apply those stories into the higher context. Oh, now the whole human experience is a big conflict, or, you know, there's great powers trying to keep the human race down. I don't know. You know, I have no knowledge of that myself, but I do know that the human race is awakening. And if I had to point at one challenger, it would be our own fear. And each and every one of us is a part of that. It's our own fear. You know, it's not like the fear of the person down the street or the politician you see on the news. It's your fear, how you relate with your life and interact with those around you. That's the playing field. And we are each far more powerful in that than it may appear on the surface.
Mm-hmm. How does karma work, Christian? Is there a true balance there? I did this, now I have to do that to make up for it. Or can we just keep moving as long as we learn?
Yeah. So, okay. So karma, I feel, is an idea that's often misinterpreted on Earth as judgment or a great justice system. So karma is, I like to say, it's another word for just cause and effect. Okay, so you have at the foundation of all things the unconditional love of being, of source. And it, that unconditional love is also full of incredible wisdom. Okay, so within that's the substrate that's always true. No matter what you do, no matter what choices you make, no matter how terrible you are, unconditional love is offered. It's always there for us. It is the nature of being itself. Okay, but then subsequent to that, as we enter realities of manifest form, we are only, as a soul, so good, in air quotes, at engaging a given form in a way that our true nature, our true loving nature, can shine through that form. We're only so evolved at engaging a certain form. So karma is just a word that helps us describe the very natural cause and effect, we could even say the divine laws of cause and effect, that help us, facilitate us to meet our own imperfection and to grow and heal past through it. So it's not that you have to do something. It's just that when you get to the other side and you see who you are, what it is you see who you actually are. Like, it's one thing to be not engaged in the game and to say, oh, I'm a very kind person. It's another thing to actually come down here when someone flicks you off on the street and you've had a rough day. Do you get angry in return? And then if you do get angry, maybe you make a gesture back and it makes their day worse. And later in your life review, you might look back and I'm a very kind person, but then you see, no, you actually did that action. You are the person who did that action. And it's like that with all the actions of our lives, and not even the actions, even our thoughts and our intentions. Everything is, you could say, balanced. There's a perfect cause and effect balance within it all. And it basically is just meant to facilitate us to be able to see who we are and to grow through who we really are. So like this fear that I'm here to process in this life, I had a past experience where that fear overtook me and I was an egoic monster. I caused a lot of damage to other people. And from the other side, I could see, oh man, I have a lot of fear. I got to do something about this. It wasn't that there was some great authority, you know, saying you that now that you screwed up, you're going to have to do this thing. No, I can see who I am. And my goodness, I have a lot of fear. And I love everyone else in the game that I hurt. So I choose then to re-engage and in this life to go through a trauma in my 20s so that I could experience great pain and then that great fear again. So I have a chance. And it is a chance. It's a beautiful chance to not only re-experience it, but to integrate it and overcome it and heal it. You know, that's what karma ultimately is about. It's about choosing to have the opportunity to heal and integrate something that needs healing or integration.
Another aspect of that, another key word is ego. How does ego play in this big cosmic soup, if you will, that we're going through?
Yeah, ego is just a product of fear. They are quite synonymous. If there is ego taking place, it means there is a fear down there. And you may notice, you know, if you just pay attention to your own behavior and you notice when you feel angry or you feel your own ego rise up and you want to justify yourself in some way, oh, well, I'm not wrong because look, I did, you know, you will find if you honestly look, you will find a fear down there. It might be a very scary fear. It might be a fear that's so obvious you haven't looked at it your whole life, whatever. But that ego rises up because it's just the part of us that's trying to fix the problem. See, now that we are in this experience of separation, the separation prompts a potentially huge amount of fear. And because so much fear is prompted, oh, now we got to fix, now I'm separate and I don't have any power. How can I get power again? Oh, I'll just believe this thing. It'll make me feel better. Like, you know, look, I feel valuable now because look, I'm in this important group and that person is in that inferior group. Now that I've set up this belief inside myself, now I feel better. It's just a game. It's an illusion. It's not true. It's not true satisfaction, but it's just what we do inside ourselves almost as an unconscious reaction to fear.
Okay, Christian. So you got a little bit of a peek beyond the veil and you came into this incarnation, if you will, aware of that you were going to have that experience. How's it going for you based on what you were had kind of signed up for and where you are now?
I bit off a large piece of the sandwich. I knew it would be difficult and it has been very difficult, but I feel that I am integrating experience that is valuable for me to integrate and that is meaningful. I'll just put it that way.
But you're beyond your personal experience coming into this world, knowing what you knew coming in and seeing the dysfunction and the collective misbeliefs, if you will, has that been difficult for you to deal with? Like, I can't believe what a mess this place is when it has so much potential.
Yeah. Do you mean from the human perspective, seeing the mess now that I'm here? Or do you mean in the pre-birth experience?
No, here, now that
you're
here.
Yeah. You know, there are certainly moments that I feel daunted, you know, because, the world is quite largely asleep right now. It's just that most people are not really aware of what we are, and our society reflects a whole lot of layers of fear patterns and ego patterns. All the us versus them thinking, all the distractions. It's kind of a huge fear orgy or something. And I do wish for more for mankind, but we are growing. You know, it's definitely not a situation of hopelessness. A lot of people are quick to point at the world and say, "Oh, see how terrible it is." No, I don't see that. I see a play with many very brave beings who are undertaking a very challenging constraints set and doing their best to grow through it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great point. Something we should all keep in mind. What is the best advice you can give our audience out there in terms of how to deal with the reality that we're living in and the collective beliefs and kind of dysfunction that you've seen and that a lot of us who are waking up are experiencing? Because there seems to be, in my opinion, a bifurcation in terms of some people are going to the left and some are going to the right. And I don't mean politically. I mean, yeah. Some people are asleep and they have chosen and are choosing on a regular basis to stay asleep. And there are other people are saying they're waking up and they're waking up faster and faster. And I don't know how those two, is it going to be different timelines? If it's one, it's a dimensional thing. What's your advice for people who are on a trying to follow a good path and really ascend and do the right thing when you have such a dysfunctional place that we're playing in?
Yeah. So I would comment that I don't think we should start the approach to this or the idea with the idea that we're in a dysfunctional place. Even that is putting a meaning onto it. The only thing that we have, and I know this is much bigger than it sounds, but it actually helps us cope. The only thing we have to deal with is our own lives. And our own lives means our own relationship to this moment. That's it. So the only thing we have to worry about is the quality of our own. We don't have to worry about it. It helps us to be attentive to this, to notice the quality of our own intention in all of our choice making in our lives. So what I mean is, are we wielding an intention that is based in love or fear? And are we then making choices that are love-based, or is there some ego pattern and fear that is really at the root of this decision? That's it. That's it. We don't need to worry about these ideas in our mind of, oh, this event is occurring over in this corner of the world, and that's terrible. Or this idea of someone said something to me and they think I'm a such and such person. No, only need to notice how we are responding to reality and work on that and work to move in love rather than fear in our own moments. I know that sounds like maybe a avoidance or something in a certain way, but it's really not. That is the active ingredient. The physical stuff all happens subsequent to that. If you meet your own fear, you are actually like shining a light to the entire collective consciousness, actually. We all see and hear and feel that with each other when we meet our own fear. And that does heal the circumstances outside. So you're not powerless. Even if you're like locked in your room and you can't leave, if you meet your own fear and you choose joy and peace now in whatever small way, you are a part of the solution. It's a very empowering message.
Agree 100%. You want to change the world, you got to change yourself. And one of the ways you kind of reached a tipping point is through meditation. Talk to us about your beliefs about meditation, how you do it, how long you've been doing it, how did you start doing it, the type of meditations you do, etc.
Yeah, sure. So I very much recommend meditation. I'll just start off by saying that it's far more valuable than it appears on the surface. It's kind of like you may do it for a while and not even recognize, and then all of a sudden there's a great treasure that you haven't even known was there always. So as for the type of meditation, so 12 years ago or so, I started meditating because Tom Campbell, physicist and consciousness explorer, whose work I was reading, recommended it. He said, just go find out. Go investigate your own consciousness in an objective way. Don't make up any stories. This is not a new belief system thing. Just go look at your own consciousness, what you are when not engaged in thinking. And at first, I started with a meditation exercise he recommends. I think it's in chapter 23 of his book, and it's synonymous with a transcendental meditation exercise of focusing on a neutral object. And after a couple sessions of doing that, first, I just felt some relief, you know, because I was constantly lost in stressful thinking. So I continued to do it. Because it was relieving, and also because Tom said, attempt it for 3 months every day without any expectation of result. Well, I did that. And after about 6 weeks or maybe 8 weeks, I'm not sure exactly, but I had my first non-physical experience spontaneously at night. And it was so eye-opening. that I was like, this is real. There is something actually going on here. I've got to continue down this path to investigate. And then the pre-birth memory just kind of returned later. It was just, once I was in that state of awareness, it was just there. It wasn't like a big epiphany or something. So I very much recommend meditation.
Last question. Have you met, Christian, other people who have had the similar experience that you've had in terms of being aware of what happened to them before being incarnated? One of the reasons I ask you is you have a very big following, and I guess they're resonating not just with your message of unconditional love, but also with the process that has brought you right here, right now.
Yeah. Well, I've met probably at least 40 or so other people who have pre-birth memory. And I even had one person reach out to me and say, so there's a portion of my story that I shared about practicing surrendering to the veil in what I call a veil acceptance simulator. I don't know what to call it. But after I described this, I had a woman reach out to me and say, I remember that exact place. And it's exactly like you describe. And she said that she pulled over to the side of the road because she's known it her whole life and she never heard anybody say it. You know, those kind of validating comments, that's very interesting to me. But what's more important is that we are, opening the door a crack and saying it's okay to actually consider the possibility of this, because as we do that, there's a vibrational change happening right now. And as we participate in that and our vibration raises, it's going to be natural for us to have interaction with the higher, deeper portions of ourself. And that's happening for many people all over the world. So many people don't feel open to talk about it. A lot of people reach out to me and they just want to share their experience. And I'm happy to hear, because, a lot of people do have similar experiences and they are real. Like if you have an out-of-body experience and it's a fully lucid OBE, there is no doubt. It's not like, oh, this is a dream or something. I mean, it's so real. It's at least as lucid and real as a waking earth experience. And when you come back from that, how do you not take that into consideration? You know what I mean? It has to impact you. And many people experience that too. And now we're all kind of coming together. And I love that the dialogue is becoming more open. That is a wonderful, beautiful thing. I just can't live in secrecy. I have to share this kind of thing because it's so important to who we are. The real nature of who we are is beyond all fear. We have nothing to fear. And fear is the primary issue we're dealing with. So why not go around and remind each other? I don't want to be that strange guy on the street. Walks up to somebody and tells them they're a multidimensional being having a human experience. But if I feel nudged, I just might, because we are here to remind each other of who we really are. It's very empowering when we remember at least in small part of, who we really are. And by the way, that memory is not exclusive to me or anybody else. It's just what we are. We are immortal spirit. We are multidimensional consciousness. We really are. And you are too. And it's your birthright to know and experience the joy and the love and the freedom of that true being. That's who we are. We are love and joy and freedom. That is our true nature. Fantastic. So I got off on a bit of a tangent there, but I'm just very passionate about that. Yeah,
that's why I wanted to have you here, because I'm equally as passionate about getting your message out there, because I think it's an important one, and we should love one another, and we should choose love over choosing fear, which is something that we face. Each one of us faces it numerous times every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Christian Sundberg, I'm so glad we got connected. I'm so glad you came back on the show. I hope we reach so many people with your message. Keep doing the work you're doing. Tell everybody out there where they can find out more about you. The name of the book, again, is A Walk in the Physical, Understanding the Human Experience Within the Larger Spiritual Context. It's a great book. You don't have to read it from page 1 to 300. You can jump around, and it's got a lot of good stuff there. I won't go into all of it, but check it out. Tell us where your website is, Christian.
Yeah, sure. My website is awalkinthephysical.com. So www.awalkinthephysical.com. The book is available for free on that website. That's a third link down on the book page. It's not about money. I just would like to get the information out there. The book is also available on Amazon and Audible. And I'm happy to try to interact by email to anybody who'd like to reach out, but I do sometimes get swamped, so I apologize if I don't respond. Yeah.
Well, great to see you again, Christian. Thank you.
Thank you so
doing
much,
Robert,
for having me on the show. Thank you.
You got it.
Have an awesome day.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It's Guy's Guy Radio.
Okay, another fascinating conversation with our special guest, a real guy's guy, Christian Sundberg. His book, once again, is A Walk in the Physical, and it's all about his pre-birth memories, if you will. Christian believes that he was contacted by a light being and kind of given insights into what happens in that time before we are born into our human bodies. What did we learn? We learned that this might be something that you don't think about, and it may be true, as Christian has stated. He is not the first one to have these experiences. He's not the first one to talk about these things. And many beliefs surround the fact that we reincarnate over and over again, and Earth is a school, and we have to lower our dimension to get here, because when we're with Source and we're connected to everything, it's so overwhelmingly bright and high vibration that it's a struggle, it's a challenge to come down here on Earth and to do our work. So Guys Guys Radio, we're here every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific Time on KCAA Radio in Southern California, 106.5 FM, 1050 AM. The podcast, my YouTube and Rumble, post worldwide Thursday. Guys Guys Radio on KCAA is rebroadcast every Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And now we're on UK Health Radio all weekend long, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It's a digital radio station. It reaches millions of people, and it's a new outlet for us to really reach people and bring them new information. So we're thrilled about that. You can also catch me across social media. I'm on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. And please say hi. Please, if you enjoy the content I bring you each and every week to Guys Guys Radio and the guests I bring you, please subscribe wherever you consume that content, whether it be Apple Podcasts or YouTube or whatever, wherever. I want to thank all of my 700 individuals, thought leaders from around so many different segments of life and expertise, areas of expertise. Thank you all for being my guests on the show. Many of you have come back. Many more will. And I also want to thank my wonderful producer, Chris, and Ryan, who's been with me from the beginning. But most of all, I want to thank you, my wonderful growing audience. We're just growing at a very fast pace, and it's terrific because we're doing something, hopefully, that helps our planet evolve and ascend. And the way to do that, folks, is work on yourself first, and then that makes the planet a better place because you will be a better individual. So Guys Guys Radio, I'm going to see you next week. Until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.